welcome to Sci-Fi Dig. I'm your host, Aaron Makem. And this week, I have a box set review, and I want to talk about a few new things that have popped up on the radar over the past few weeks. One of those things is Doom Patrol. DC has finally released the first, well, they started the series, right? I did not know that there was going to be a gap for Young Justice Season 3. I thought we were going to play straight through, but that is not the case. We're going to eat the first half now, and the second half, I believe, in June. Young Justice, it's interesting. The first two seasons, and I think almost everybody's probably seen this show because it was just a really solid show, and the reality is the reason they got canceled was because the toys weren't selling. But when you're doing this thing streaming, toy sales would just be a bonus. So your selling point is going to be your streaming service. You want people to come to your streaming service and subscribe and pay for it. And therefore, you want to have a good show because you want people to come and watch the show. And in that same idea, it's interesting to me that Young Justice is definitely very adult-oriented. Now, a lot of places I've seen have talked about the show. Their idea has been, well, it started out, years ago, and so the people that grew up watching it, now they're ready for something adult and yada, yada, yada. Now, I don't necessarily believe that's the truth. I think they realize since they're on a streaming service, they don't have to dumb it down. They can make it, more adult-oriented. When I say adult-oriented, I don't mean like, there's cursing or blood or anything like that. I mean adult-oriented, like the themes and the topics are kind of complex. And a lot of politics involved, and you have to be able to follow all that to understand what's going on. So I think they've done a good job with that. I cannot wait for more, but it was Friday, and I'm like, okay, Young Justice. And then there was no new ones, and I thought, well, maybe something's up. Maybe we're getting a one-week break, and then I researched it and realized they were breaking it up. Now, Doom Patrol, Doom Patrol is a interesting concept. I've read maybe 24 Doom Patrol comics in my life. And I like the idea of Doom Patrol. Sometimes it can get really bogged down, and sometimes the pacing can be so slow that I get bored with it. But I like the idea behind it, and I always thought that it would work better as an animated series or as a live action, but I never thought that a live action series would be something that we would see, because I think that Doom Patrol is kind of on the fringe of the comic genre and the fringe of comic fans. I think that, for try to appeal to a broader audience might be kind of difficult with Doom Patrol. But I started watching it, and I've only watched the first episode. And I want to get back to it. I just haven't had the opportunity. But it is, I got to say that Brandon Fraser does a fantastic job in this series. It's like, for somebody who had kind of disappeared off the face of the earth, out of the acting community, had some problems. And if you read his story of, what has happened to him and why he kind of faded, because he was going strong there for a long time. And he just kind of faded away and disappeared. It's real interesting, but this is a perfect character for him. I know that he's on a couple of other shows as a guest star, but on here, he really sells this character of somebody who is, he's a race car driver and he gets injured and they put him in a robot body. And I'm just really enjoying that character more than I ever thought that I would. I wasn't sure that he would be a character I'd like, let alone my favorite character. And so far, and that's based on one episode, but I can't believe just how well they have the flow down. The pacing on this seems to be much better after one episode than it was on Titans. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes. I'm excited for it. I mean, the thing I'm most excited for on DC is Swamp Thing. Now, you guys can probably tell that DC is probably one of the only streaming services I have, because it's the one I'm always talking about. But it's also the one I was most excited for, and also the one, for various reasons, I'm most disappointed in. But obviously the original programming is working pretty well for me. I know I've heard a lot of mixed reviews on Titans. The last episode of Titans was kind of a real letdown because it just didn't go anywhere. and didn't take the story thus far anywhere. It was kind of a letdown. Not even to a good like cliffhanger or a good like, okay, now we're going to get part two. It just kind of fizzled out. But the episodes themselves, I thought, were put together fairly well with the breakdown of the characters and things like that. And introducing them and giving them backstory and not having the pacing of it worked pretty well for me per episode. You know, but it's like with all these things now, it's like the whole landscape has changed as far as telling a story. We're not telling it episode by episode. We're telling it season by season or series by series, depending on how you look at it, you know. And that brings me to The Umbrella Academy, which is currently on Netflix. I did not think that I was going to watch The Umbrella Academy. And I can't remember what was going on, but for whatever reason, I'm like, this is on. I'm going to go ahead and watch the first episode. And I got so sucked in that that ended up being what I watched every day when I watched TV. It was the Umbrella. I didn't watch anything else. I just kept watching The Umbrella Academy until I finally made it through all of them. It took me, I think it's 10 episodes. I think it probably took me 11 days to make it through all of the episodes. But that is one series thus far that I think the pacing and the way that they worked that format of each episode tells a little story, but everything's leading to something bigger. They had it down. I think that every episode had its own little story, had its own little, conclusion. And yet we were left wanting more because, you know, we wanted to know what was going on with the overall arc. And they did a really good job with it. All the acting was top notch and the story just kept me interested the whole time. And it is a very robust world. I've read the first trade of The Umbrella Academy. I probably read it 3 or 4 years ago. And I remember I liked it a lot, but I cannot tell you what it was about because that's just kind of how I just so many comics, so much media. If it's something that isn't like incredibly unique with an incredible story that grabs me, and that doesn't mean by any means if it didn't grab me, it's bad. It just means that it wasn't like the thing that I can't say it didn't appeal to me, but it wasn't one of those things where I'm like, wow, you know, this really grabbed me. But I'm also kind of odd. I mean, there's movies that people do not like that I think are great. And I mean, I would put Pacific Rim in my top five movies of all time. I just love that movie and I can watch it again and again and I love it. And I know it's all kind of cheesy, but I love it. But anyway, so I think with The Umbrella Academy, they did a fantastic job with the pacing throughout. Now, whether the story's for you or not is neither here nor there. And I wouldn't say that I'd give it 5 out of 5. I'm just saying as far as, you know, trying to make the episodes leave you wanting more, but yet give you enough that you're satisfied when you watch an episode. They did a really good job with that. It really came together for them. And I think that the powers that be behind that show have a nice flow down because, like I said, as time goes on and more things are becoming streaming, and let's face it, you know, when creatively, it's not like somebody's going to make a series of something for DVD. They're going to make it for a streaming service. They're going to get money. They're going to stream it. Everybody's doing their own thing. They can give it to you all at once. They can give it to you once a week, once every 2 weeks. They can break the seasons up if they want, you know, however they want to do it. And so doing things like, I think that it's most noticeable that the flow isn't there if they drop it all at one time and you have all, you know, 10 episodes or 12 episodes or 13 episodes and people binge it and they don't, I think you both don't notice it and notice it because you don't notice it because you're just like episode to episode. You can't even remember what episode number you're on. You're just in the middle of a story, but you notice it if you watch one episode and you're like, okay, I want to see the next because I want to know what happens. But if you stop and analyze the first episode, you're like, it didn't really tell me anything, you know? And finally, and I'll be done talking about streaming items. You know, we all knew that once the cancellation started to come for Netflix's Marvel shows, that everybody's going to get canned, right? So, you know, season 2 of Punisher dropped and I knew that was going to be the last season. I think everybody did. And we knew that it was going to end up getting canceled. And with that being said, I just have not had any desire to watch it. I like The Punisher well enough. I mean, I like the Netflix series. I love the comic, but I like the Net series. God, I like the Netflix series well enough. But I just have not been driven to watch it because I know it's the end. And if there's a cliffhanger, I'm going to be kind of ticked off that that's never going to get resolved and things like that. And that being said, when season 3 of Jessica Jones comes out, I am going to definitely watch that because I am a huge fan of Jessica Jones, the series. I think that season 2, whether you love it or hate it, they definitely took the character in her own direction. She kind of found her own pacing and tried to get, you know, and got out from underneath what was in the comics and being connected to the greater Marvel universe, and we could focus more on her and her little world that they carved out there for. And I really enjoyed season two of that. That was one of those ones I just could not wait to see the next episode. Sometimes with the other Marvel shows, it's a slog to get through them because you're just like, ah, this episode's not that great, but I want to know what happens, and I want to, you know, I want to see how they're going to tie everything together, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just kind of a shame that, you know, these are all going to get shut. These are all shut down at this point, and we're not sure if we'll ever get those characters again. If we do get them on a Disney type streaming service, are they going to be just really dumbed down because, you know, we want kids to like it, et cetera, et cetera? You know, I don't know. I just wish that they had. If they were going to do something like this, they had like with the comics, they have a Max line. Now the Max line, of course, is like way over the top. But I wish they had that for any kind of TV properties, TV shows they're going to do, or movies, they were going to have a Max line so that you can have the Punisher as the Punisher, not as something that's dumbed down and held back, and he can just go and blow everybody up, kill everybody, and there could be blood and gore everywhere, and we know what we're getting into, right? You know, that's kind of what I'm hoping for, but we'll see what happens as the future moves on. And anyway, that brings me to the conversation I had today, well, not today, but yesterday, with several people that I work with, and we were all talking about streaming services, and they were talking about there were different services that they belonged to that ended up closing shop, and because they did, they ended up losing all their movies. Now, some of these guys had, you know, obviously some of these places had given you free codes and you buy a DVD, but some of these guys had spent quite a bit of money, like several hundred dollars on movies on these streaming services, and when they shuttered, they didn't. There was no way for them to get their movies back. So they were just done. Now, I know that a lot of services out there give you that opportunity. But I also know that sometimes you have to jump through a lot of hoops to get there, and a lot of people aren't willing to do that. They just want to move on with their life. The whole idea of streaming media is ease of use. And when you have to start doing other things and joining other groups and other, you know, organizations and companies that take care of this, it's no longer easy. It's just kind of a pain in the butt. So, you know, during this discussion, I was like, that's why physical media is king. I'm like, I know if I want to watch a movie that I bought, I know where it's at. It's on my bookshelf, and I get it off and I watch it. And one of the guys made a point of saying, yeah, I agree that physical, I'd rather have physical than streaming, but where do you put it all? And that is the problem, right? It's like, you know, even if you, because let's face it, if you're going to buy something and you're only going to watch it once, but it's like you don't have the opportunity, like say that a perfect example of this before we had all the streaming services for anime, but say you were going to buy, you wanted to watch an anime and the only way to watch it is to buy it. There's no way to rent it. There's no way to stream it at this point in time. So you buy it, you watch it, you like it, you enjoy it. You're never going to watch it again. Well, you know, it's worth the investment to buying it because you want something to enjoy, right? And so, you know, you purchase it. And then what do you do with it? Well, in anime's case, a lot of it's so damn expensive, you just hang on to it and hope somebody else comes along that likes anime too and you can lend it to them. Maybe you guys can swap. But if not, it just sits on a shelf, right? And I get it. I do. Like I said before, especially when I'm older, I talk about this a lot on the show of collecting and what to do with it and things like that. But it's just something, it's interesting to me how everything is kind of evolving. And we're still in flux because we still have physical media companies. We have boutique shops bringing stuff out, things that aren't available streaming that are coming out. We have new streaming services popping up all the time that are going to offer their unique packages and their unique series and movies that you're not going to be able to get anywhere else unless you subscribe to that service and things like that. So I'm just enjoying the fact that there is competition out there and things are, you know, always kind of moving. And I like the fact that there's plenty of new stuff for me to enjoy, but also some of my favorite older things are getting redone and remastered, and I'm able to pick those up and enjoy those as well. So it's kind of interesting to me. And also, yeah, I know that we were talking about the cost of some of the boutique discs. They're kind of expensive. It's not, you know, you're looking anywhere between usually between $30 and $40 for one movie with extras and special features and stuff like that. Now, a lot of that stuff is brand new stuff they're putting on there, and they have to pay for that. And on one hand, I understand people complaining about the price. But on the other hand, I kind of like it because then that's my money. You know, that's the money I'm investing in entertainment for X amount of days. I buy that disc and then I'm all in, right? I watch the movie, listen to the commentary, watch the special features, and just kind of get everything out of it that they put into it. And I think it's kind of interesting to do that. You know, it's kind of like when you buy an omnibus for a comic. You're going to pay more. You can go buy the trades for way cheaper. But the omnibus is going to have all the extras. It's going to be all together. It's going to have everything, all the information you want, all the tidbits. You're going to pay extra for that. But you're going to get that book, and you're going to spend a month with that book, you know, reading it, going through it, looking everything up, you know, looking at all the different artwork and any bonuses or extras you get. And so it's kind of more of an experience. You know, it's kind of, to me, it's like going to the movies as opposed to watching a movie at home. You're getting the experience of the whole thing, and that's kind of the bonus. That's kind of why you're paying the extra money. It's what makes it, to me, worth the price. And speaking of physical media, I was looking over my shelves to decide about a box set to review. Now, first, I need to kind of define box set for those people that might argue the point. A box set to me is something, it's not just a special edition DVD, it's not a TV series. TV series, obviously, they're a box set because they come in a box. But when it comes to films, a box set is something that comes with extras. And I mean, not just mean extras on the disc, but I mean extra little goodies inside or something unique that you wouldn't normally get with a regular disc. And so I was looking and I came across one and I'm like, I haven't talked about this since the movie first was in the theaters. I talked about it on a show and I am, you know... I was looking over it, and this is a DVD set, not a Blu-ray set, and I'm like, I'm going to talk about this because it was a big deal to me when I got it, and I really, really enjoyed the movie still today. It's a great movie, and that is Sin City. I remember when Sin City first had a trailer, a very, very short trailer, and it was a big deal, right? It was, you know, I had dial-up at the time, and I waited for that trailer to load, and it took like, I don't know, a couple hours. And at the time, Apple had the trailers page. You can go to Apple, had a movie trailers page where you can go through all the movies that were coming out and some that had been out and look at the trailers, and you could actually save them, which was kind of cool because that means that I could download a couple of them and go to work and come home and watch the trailers, you know, and that was just, to me, that was a big deal. So I did just that, and I thought, man, this looks so unique. And I knew what Sin City was, but I had never read any of the comics. So I had gotten the first one, and I read it, and I really enjoyed it. And I could not wait for the movie to come out. And I believe that I went to the theater and saw this movie by myself. And I was just completely blown away by the look of it, the feel of it, how the stories came together, how the different stories kind of started in the middle, and then at the end they all tied together. And you're like, whoa, that's crazy the way all that just happened. Just really enjoyed the heck out of it. And then so much so that this is one of those movies I could not wait for a physical release because I wanted to go back and revisit it and look at everything, see how they did it, you know, hoping that we were going to get like a director's cut with some special features. And I remember the DVD came out and it was bare bones and it wasn't cheap. It was a little above average in price. And I think that's because the movie's just so long. And so I ended up buying it because I wanted to revisit it. And I went and I watched it and I watched it again. And I enjoyed the movie. And I was just so disappointed that there was nothing else. There was no director commentary. It was just there. Well, then I started reading and realized they were going to do a special release of it. But it was months and months away. And I want to say there was probably like 8 or 9 months difference between. And I could be not remembering this correctly. But I remember there was a big lag in between the bare bones release and then the special edition release that came out. And the special edition release finally did come out, and I ended up picking it up. And it was two discs, two DVDs, the first issue, the first trade of the comic, and a couple little inserts, little flyer inserts that had like the chapters on them and stuff like that. And it was a nice little box. The comic is downsized. It's about half size of the normal one, but it's still completely readable because I went back and read it again. I actually read that version of it rather than getting the one off my shelf. And what was so cool, one of the features on the special edition, we got the extended cut, which is like 20 minutes more somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 minutes of extra footage. We have the breakdown cut where each individual chapter, you know, not chapter on a DVD, but chapter of the story, you get to just watch it straight up uncut without the interruptions of the other. So you can sit there and watch all four or five of them straight through. And then one of the things that we got that I thought was really cool was the entire movie with the green screen, the actors in front of the green screen. It's all shot, it's all fast forward, and it's like, I don't know, like 3 or 4 minutes long. It's just it's everything just in fast motion. You know, they did a time lapse on it, which is kind of cool to watch if you go through. And it's just so super quick, but it's just kind of interesting to watch them because so much of it was green screen. You know, it just about everything there was green screen. So it was it's kind of interesting to watch. And you go back and you watch the movie and you look at the performance they're getting out of the actors. That's pretty incredible considering they don't have a whole lot to act off of. But anyway, Sin City remains one of my favorite films. It's just everything about it, not only is it a solid film, and is it completely unique for the time, and also the look is just crazy. And you look into the background of that when they shot everything with filters, and like in order to get the blood the right color, they had like, you know, they might use the color, you know, blue to bring out a different color. It's real interesting how they had to make everything work in order to get all this together. And then they brought out the second one, and I've only seen the second one time, and I don't hate it. There's just something about it. It just does not have the power that the first one does. It's not as interesting to me as the first film was. It just seems the stories just aren't there. It's not as tightly put together. It's not the content. Just what it boils down to is the content is just not as interesting to me as the first one was. And I think that's why a lot of times you get sequels and they pump everything up to make a bigger deal or whatever. And in this case, it wasn't so much that it, you know, things weren't pumped up or anything like that. It's just a matter of I just don't think the content was there. It just was not as interesting to me as the content of the first film. And I still don't own a copy of it yet. And they've actually released a Blu-ray version of the first film, and I think it has all those extras that I talked about. But I'm not interested in purchasing it. I'm perfectly happy with my DVD version. If I came across the Blu-ray version for like $5 or less, I'd probably pick it up. But honestly, DVD was good enough for me, and it still is. There's some things I'll upgrade on when I get an opportunity, or something that offers me extras in addition to what's normally on a DVD. But if it's pretty much the exact same thing, only a you know, converted or, you know, even a better scan, I am pretty content with just the DVD version, you know. And I know we're moving into 4K, and I'm not that interested in 4K. I mean, I'm perfectly happy with Blu-ray, and I'm not interested in trying to put together a whole other system, you know, in order to play 4K. And it's funny because Samsung just announced they're not going to make Blu-ray players, you know, for the U.S. market anymore, and they're going to make them everywhere else. And like I said, it's not a big deal because you can just always go to Bombay Electronics and buy any kind of Blu-ray player you want, chip, so it's region free, and it only costs you about $20 or $30 more than the Blu-ray player if you bought it from the store shelves. And there's plenty of other competition out there. I mean, LG and Sony, they all make Blu-ray players, so I'm not that concerned about it. I know some people are worried because they think discs are going to take a hit. Well, discs already have taken a hit. I mean, physical media, the sales have been down. But at the same point in time, just because the overall sales are down doesn't mean that the discs themselves aren't selling, you know. And as much as I love all the new stuff we get on streaming, there's so much cool things out there to dig into. I mean, physical media is it for me. Like I said, I can take it off my shelf and play it. I don't have to worry about any of the other issues. And unless you're buying iTunes versions of it, a lot of the extras you're never going to see. And it's a shame that like some of the boutique companies like Scream and Shout, they put out great stuff. They put a lot of time and effort and even Severin into their films and doing commentaries and getting interviews and things like that. And I find all of that very fascinating. And it's kind of a shame for those people that aren't interested in owning physical media when you're getting a streaming version of this, that you're going to miss out on that. I mean, hopefully that changes. Hopefully when you buy a whole digital package with all the extras and all the commentaries and everything. But the flip side of that as well is that as much as I enjoy, you know, just being able to push a button and watch what I want to watch, and even if they had commentaries, a lot of times I just rip the commentaries and put them on my phone and listen to them while I'm at work or, you know, doing whatever. So that's kind of interesting. Anyway, I want to wind this up. I just have a couple of personal things on here. You know, those of you that you know, actually a lot of you are running buddies, even though we've never met. We run and we talk about our runs and we, you know, shoes and things like that. Big shoe fan. Like talking about shoes a lot. So I recently discovered CrossFit, which is a whole different ball of wax. Interesting as heck to me, CrossFit is. I like the training. I like how they have it broken down. But what is interesting to me is the difference it makes on your body. Like when I run, I can run and I can burn 1,000 calories and I can pretty much eat what I want within reason. I mean, I couldn't eat like 3 cakes in a row or something like that. But if I wanted to have 2 beers at night and have, you know, a piece of cake and something else, I can do that. And I'm actually, you know, burning the calories. I mean, not that I do that, but I could. And I could still maintain weight or even lose weight because I'm usually burning more calories I'm taking in. CrossFit's kind of different because you're building your muscle. And I was very alarmed after the 2-week mark and I'd gained 4 pounds. And I'm like, this is the exact opposite of what I want to do. But the flip side of that is that, yeah, I gained 4 pounds, but at the same point in time, my pants were looser. So it's kind of an interesting thing. I'm fascinated by exercise and the human body and what it does to it, you know. And I know that it's real easy to fall into that whole, like, exercise nerd, you know, and just looking at what it does and, you know, what you eat and what effect that has on you. But the whole thing is just fascinating to me. You know, when you do... You know, like when I trained for, when I was training for the half marathon, I went from like doing a 7-mile run to doing a 14-mile run, or even anything in a double digits. I wanted to run anything in a double digits to make sure I had enough stamina to make it through. Cause I mean, God forbid I don't want to get in halfway through the run and have to have somebody cart me off. But then your whole, when that happens, everything changes cause you're not so much worried about how much you're eating. You're worried about what you're eating because you want to make sure that you have enough carbs, which you're trying to avoid all the rest of your life so you can lose weight or maintain. But you want to have extra carbs so that you can make it through so you don't hit that wall, which has happened to me a couple times. And just that part of it is, it's a pain in the butt, but at the same point in time, it's fascinating. You have to know your body pretty well. You have to know what you can do and kind of go all out in a lot of areas to figure out where your weaknesses lie and when you're going to come up on that deficit of food and realize, oh, I messed up. I should have eaten this many carbs 2 days ago so that, you know, I would have enough to make it through. And the whole thing is just kind of interesting. I just wanted to mention it because actually one of the listeners to the show here, he started running after I'd been running for a while. We were talking back and forth. And then he started doing CrossFit. And we had chatted a couple times about it. And my thing was that there wasn't really a CrossFit place here. And now there is. And my daughter started doing it. And I was asking her a million questions about it. And then I was like, well, I'll try it for a few weeks. And so I started doing it. And we have been able to go several times together. And it's so much fun doing it with her. I mean, that is, you talk about a bonding relationship. It is just, it's so much fun because like we're both beginners. So there's a lot of struggling going on. It's kind of funny because I have a hernia and I have a hernia. It's never going to go away, but it doesn't bother me. It's not painful, anything like that. But after so many sit-ups, depending on what I'm doing, it'll start to pop out. And I just kind of hold it in with one hand, just keep on doing what I'm doing. And we had a session on Saturdays or community days. And so the MetCon is always something without a lot of weight or anything. It's a lot of stamina stuff. And one of the things was we ended up having to do 200 sit-ups. So she was asking the instructor, hey, you know, is there something else that, because everything can be scaled. No matter what your physical condition, you can scale everything. That's one of the things that's really cool about it. There's always something you can do to scale it so that you can still do the activity and the exercise, not feel left out, and still have an accomplishment. And so we were talking about it, and the instructor was like, yeah, you know, just have him plank the whole time, you know, just have him plank. And I was like, yeah, I can plank. And I was like, I'll plank while you do the sips because you're supposed to do them together. You know, that's the whole thing. It's synchronized. In this particular case, not always, just this particular case. So we start doing the first set of sit-ups. We're 25 in, and we're facing each other. And my kid looks at me, and she goes, "You're about to get in trouble." And it starts to come. She goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm doing a sit-up." She goes, No. She's like, "You can plank." I was like, "Nope, I'm good. We're going to keep on going until that sucker pops out." And I actually made it through all the entire thing, and it didn't pop out. But it was just kind of funny because she came over and was like scolding me. And she's probably 20 years my junior. And she's like, "What are you doing?" You know. But anyway, it's a lot of fun, and I know that a lot of people don't care about fitness, but I do. So I'm going to talk about it on the show, and hopefully if one person gets off the couch and goes and does something and realizes what a game changer it is, not just your weight. Who cares about your weight? And not just in your stamina, but just in your mental well-being, because I'm telling you what, you exercise better part of the week. I would say every day, because I like to do it every day, but say – I'll say 4 days out of seven. Okay, 3 days out of seven. 3 days out of seven, you're going to find your mental health is just superior to everybody else's, because you are just you're getting those endorphins going. You're getting all that stress out. It is just a fantastic thing. And I'm a big fan of CrossFit. Kind of expensive, I'm not going to lie. And but if you can afford it, it's super interesting, the different exercise. There are just so many different things, and the way that they break it up, you end up doing a big workout without even knowing it. It is a lot of fun. The only downside to anything that requires you to go to a gym is that you have to go to the gym. Now, keep in mind, when I say gym, it's not your standard gym, but anything that requires you to go to another location is another excuse not to do it. That's why I like running. You pull in your shoes, and you go out the door, and you go. That's it. You're done. You know, you go to point A, and you turn around and come back home. And that's why I like that, because it's simple, straightforward, running, walking, whatever. But CrossFit or any other kind of gym exercise is a little bit different. But anyway, I'm starting to ramble now. It's something I really enjoyed. I wanted to share it with everybody, and I will talk about some sci-fi stuff next week. Until then, this is Aaron for the Sci-Fi Dig Podcast. Over and out.